Chapter number 1 and verse number 1, follow me in your Bible. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, he pauses and says, greetings. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I quote this verse about every time I take a test. That giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth. And the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, when it's birthed, when it comes out into the open, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. But every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. Lord, I want to beseech heaven, Lord, I'm begging you to come in this place in power and great glory. Help us, Lord, I pray, to be sensitive to the Spirit, to watch our steps as we navigate through the truth that is contained in the Word of God in James in chapter number 1. Help us to be led of the Holy Ghost. Help us to unpack the text and get to the verse that you've laid upon our heart. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see the full picture. Help us, Lord, to see a crowd that's been written to. A crowd that the Holy Ghost has inspired the half-brother of Jesus to write a letter penned down in the 66 books that we have inspired and preserved. And when the world's gone, it'll still be there as record. That when we are scattered, there is scripture to be had. That when we, Lord, are tempted, there are truths that we need to soak in. Lord, I pray today that you'd help me, Lord, to be a vessel you'd preach through. Lord, I thank you for what you do and give you glory for souls saved, lives changed, and you being praised and lifted up in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm interested today in this book of James because, as Savonarola said, at great martyr of many years ago, he said, a Christian life consists of doing good
and suffering evil. Every single person that is in this building, no doubt, has faced trials. Synonymous in the chapter is trials, troubles, tribulations, and temptations. Temptations become troubles. Troubles become trials. Every bit of it is trying in our life. And in the book of James, he's writing to a scattered group of people. He gives us in verse number one, he gives us the preamble, the text, and the authority by which he's writing. He said, I am James, a servant of God. I don't serve man. Man is not pulling my puppet strings. He said, I'm on a mission from God. I've got a word from God. While you are scattered, I've got some scripture. When you're troubled, I have some truth. And that's what he's telling us right in James in chapter number one. He says, a servant of God. Who is this James? There's a bunch of James, James, Alphaeus, son of... But who's this James? This James, according to John in chapter number 7 and verse number 5, is the half-brother of Christ. And according to James 7 and verse number 5, the man that got raised with Jesus didn't even believe he was the Messiah, according to James 7 and verse 5. He's an unbeliever. He's not going to even be a believer until the resurrection. And James says, we know this about James, he is a servant of God, but he was the brother of God. He's the half-brother of the Lord. He had the same earthly mama, but had different daddies. Amen. Amen. Had the same earthly mama, grew up in the house with Jesus. Probably mad at Jesus. Probably looked at Jesus like a goody two-shoes. Never talked back, mama, never said a cuss word, never done anything wrong. Everything he ever did was perfect. That's because he's God. He's a half-brother. He's an unbeliever. But he becomes an ardent follower. He becomes an important leader. In fact, according to Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 14, and we believe he's a believer according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 7, the Bible said Jesus appeared to James specifically, not just to 500, not just to them that saw him, not just to the 12, not just to Mary, but he appeared to his half-brother. He's a believer. He becomes a leader of the church. He sits on the council according to Acts chapter number 1. He sits on the council of the church. Here's a man who, like us, was lost, but now he's found. He was blind, but now he sees. James knows what it is to be a cusser. James knows what it is to be out of the fellowship of God. James knows what it is to be against God. But James knows what it is to be found by God. James knows what it is to be rescued by God. James knows what it is to be inspired by God. And he said, why are you scattered? I've got a word, and my authority is God. I'm a servant of God, not a man. He said, I'm writing to 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. He said, greeting. He's writing to the scattered that are being persecuted, the scattered that are being troubled and having trials and temptation. And even though it's addressed to those 12 tribes, it is applicable to everybody that is in this church. For all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. He said in Galatians 3 in verse number 17, Galatians 3 and verse number 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith the same are the children of Abraham. He's writing, yes, to the believers in that day, but he's writing to everybody that is a brother or sister in Christ. So he's got a word for us. Would you admit to me today, would you admit openly before everybody in God, or you can be honest or you can lie, that you've been tempted, had trials, or had troubles this week? Would you be honest? Everybody that I know has some way, maybe in mind, maybe in thought, maybe troubles, maybe whatever's going on, maybe it's emotional, maybe it's physical, whatever it might be, maybe it's spiritual. We need what James is going to tell us. He said, I've got it all. I've got a word for you.
If you were to look at the book of James, I believe you'd find several things. We're not going to deal with the whole book today. But the book of James is a response of faith. He said, when you hear truth, you've got a responsibility to either reject it or respond right. Everybody here, every service, we've got a responsibility to receive truth or reject truth. Would y'all say amen there? So there's a response of faith. There's a reality of faith. That's the project of it. That's how we work on it. Response, how we process, how it becomes a part of our life. But the reality of it is how faith works in your life. Because we live by faith, that not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. The life we live right now is a life of faith or a life of fear. But I thank God we've been saved by grace, so now we've been saved by faith, and we live a life of faith. We might fall, but we still have faith. Faith, when you do fall, keeps you going on, getting up and getting after it. Faith is what stirred you up to begin with, what keeps you in the fight, and what will see you all the way through. There's a reality of faith, the work of faith, the project of faith, how faith is working in your life. There's a reassurance of faith in the book of James. He's telling us, hey, I want you to know God, he's working on you. Project faith is a work and a process out in your life. But thank God you can have some reassurance that faith that works is faith that's real. And faith that God gave you is not fake faith. It's not faith you can muster up. It's not faith that will ever let you down. God, sometimes faith is the only thing that keeps you going. I'm not talking about faith in yourself. And I'm not talking about faith in mankind. I'm talking about faith in the Father. A little boy one day was working at the hardware store with his daddy. His daddy owned the store. And one of the customers came in. And the customer seen this little boy. He had a bunch of products in his hand, and he was sitting there waiting for his daddy to load him up with some more. And that little lady come up to him and said, "Don't you think you got enough?" He said, "Ma'am, my daddy knows what I can handle. Every single person in this building, I need y'all to know, your daddy, your heavenly Father, knows what you can handle." Now, we might feel like we're going to buckle, but hey, he's been with you since the beginning and before the beginning. He'll be with you through the end. He knows what you can handle. He's got to break you down sometimes. The muscles have got to burn, and that acid's got to get, and fibers have got to tear before you can get stronger. And that's the way it is spiritually. God's got to sometime let you bear the load to build your faith. And he does it through trials, troubles, and tribulation, all the temptations that we go through. Because in James, there's tests. He's telling us they will be tests. They will be troubles. They will be temptations. But there's going to be a timing. God's timing's going to bring triumph in your life. As sure as there's troubles, God's going to show up on time, and you're going to come out on the other side saying, "Woo, hallelujah, I don't know how I made it." Watch what he says. Let's just, we'll try to walk through the text and get to the verse. Watch what he says in verse number 2. It's as if he's saying, it's common to us all. Count it common. He said, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations." Diverse being different, being multitude at one time, coming from every direction. He said, notice the text does not say if you come. He said when you come. It's a common thing. It's going to happen as sure as we're living on this earth. We are going to have troubles, trials, temptations. Synonymous, we're going to have every one of them. And you say, "Preacher, that ain't the same." Well, friend, I'm going to tell you, when you hit trouble in your life, there is going to be a temptation to quit or keep going. And hey, man, I'm telling you, sometimes troubles come by way of trials, tricks of the devil, but I'm telling you, they are synonymous in our life, truth that can be applied to all situations. He said, when ye fall into temptation, when it's going to happen, not if it's going to happen. Matter of fact, you can look over in verse number 12, the text that we're going to get to. Look what it says. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. That's that ETH on end. And in other words, you've got to endure and endure and endure and endure and endure and endure. Why? Because it's going to keep coming, keep coming. There's never going to be a time when you're not going to find yourself in temptation, in trouble, or in trials. We're born of woman. We're going to be full. Our days are going to be full of trouble. They might as well get ready for it. But there's triumph in it. God's working that timing out in our life. It's common to us all. My brethren, everybody that's saved, everybody that's been born again, as sure as we are saved, the Bible says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Wait a minute, blessed? That's that happy word. That means happy, happy. That means happy on the inside, happy on the outside. You're saying a man that constantly endures temptation, troubles, and trials, you say that man's happy? Oh, yeah. That man's going to be happy. And that's what he's saying in verse number 2. Notice he says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptation. Now, preacher, just wait a minute. James is maybe a little bit different. I ain't had no troubles lately this year. Listen, I'm trying to preach. I had to give you all that before I could give you the title. The title is Heartaches on the Way to Heaven. Every single person in this building is going to have heartaches on the way to heaven. Some of them is going to be multitude diverse from every direction at one time. And then we might go a little bit of space and we say, man, thank God I got through that. And before you know it, you'll wake up 7 o'clock in the morning, get a phone call, and it's done hit you again. And the good news is God's got a timing. God is doing that for a purpose. He said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Remember what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says? There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. He knows, Daddy knows what you can handle. That's why we say our Father. He's not just your Father. He's my Father, our Father. He knows what we can handle. You remember Paul over there in prison in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 11. Paul says, hey, I've been troubled on every side, but the Lord, he said, nobody stood with me, but the Lord was able to deliver me out of them all. He didn't say from them all. He said out of them all. When the Hebrew children's over there standing at the fire, they said, our God is able to deliver us from the furnace. But God didn't keep them from the furnace. He delivered them out of the furnace. God never told you he's going to keep you from it. He said he's going to deliver you out of it. Amen. I'm telling you right now, he'll deliver. You know what we need to do? We need to look for, when we find ourselves in troubles, trials, tribulation, temptation, you know what we need to do? We need to look for that out of it. It's time. God's going to get us out of it. He ain't going to keep it from us. But hey, as sure as we're saying, on saved or lost people, it rains on both of them. Whether you're saved or lost, it rains on both. Hey, would y'all agree with that? And so it is with trouble. It's going to come. But thank God we've got something they want, they don't have. We've got the Lord on our side. We've got a divine companion. We've got a divine course. Watch what he said, my brethren. Count it common. Count it all common. But here's an uncommon way to look at it. He said, my brethren, when you fall into diverse temptation, he said, count it all joy. Hold up. Time out. You saying we are to have a happy spell when we go through troubles and trials? He said, count it all joy. He didn't say part of it. He didn't say wait till you get out on the other side of it. He said, count it all joy. I believe them three Hebrew children must have been counting it all joy because Jesus is walking with them in the fire. I believe Paul must have got happy over there in prison for the third and final time at least, and he's in prison over there and writing that final letter, and he said, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. Hey, I'm telling you, count it all joy when you fall. When you, it's going to happen. It's coming to us all. Kind of reminds you over there in Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 11, 12. I love this. Here's what the Lord said in that first Sermon on the Mount. He said in Matthew chapter number 5, I believe it is verse number 11. Let me read it. Here's what he says. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 11. He says, amen, he says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Here's what he said, do about it. Get mad, quit. Get mad, retaliate. Ain't what he said. He said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Boy, ain't God good. I mean, heartaches on the way to heaven coming at you from every side, troubles and trials. You fell right into it. You didn't want to be into it. If you could have averted it, you would have averted it. You would have went another direction. But God said, there's a perfect timing in your life. I'm going to strengthen you. You know why? Because God wants us to endure temptation. Because we are blessed as we endure these temptations. We should be an enduring men and women. It's temptation. Hey, he says this, the one who endures temptation, he lives for the Lord, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. There's two kind of words, because temptations, troubles and trials are two elements. There's an outward part and an inward part. That outward part, when it comes to temptations, they're a little bit different on troubles and trials. But he says, when that man endureth temptations, he said, what'll begin to happen, that there'll be a lure and there'll be lust that are working in contemplation one with another. And what they do is they get a man away from the Lord. That outward thing, there's that lure. He said, when we're enticed. That word entice, the fisherman's term. It is actually means a lure. It means to put a fake worm, maybe a jitterbug, maybe some kind of other instrument to catch fish on the end of your fishing line, throw it over there into that corner where the logs laying over and them lily pads, because you want to get that bass sucked out from his safety bedding area. Hey, man, I'm feeling God on that. Hey, and throw it over there and it hits a splash and you go to jerking it in and you're jerking it in. You see him swimming toward it. What's happening is he's been enticed. All he sees is that juicy worm. He don't see the hooks. He don't see the line. He don't see the man going to put him on the frying pan. All he sees is what he wants. That's the devil's, that's the outward part. That's what the devil does. He throws it over at you in the safety of snuggled up to the Lord. That's why I said, do not err. That get out from the safety place of the shepherd. Get away from that home God's made for you, from the plan and the purpose that God has. So the devil throws that line over to you. And he makes it look good. But you don't see that line. You don't see what's on the other end of that hook. You don't see who's holding that fishing pole. You don't see that devil that's wanting to cut you up and ruin your life. And hey, man, the devil tempts to show everybody the bad. God allows trials, troubles, and tribulations and temptation so that you come out shining on the other side and show everybody the good. The devil throws that over, it entices you to lure you out. That's the outward part. That's the devil's part. But you got a part too. Did he not say, what's the text in verse 12? Verse number 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt thee any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. So lust and lure are in collaboration one with another. Yet what happens is that thing gets thrown out, John, or what pulls that fish away. He could have stayed in the safety of the home. but he's got an inward lust. He knows he should be over there where the Lord designed him to raise that family. But all he sees is the lure, and the lust overcomes him. See, we're drawn away of our own lust, and we're enticed. The devil throws it out there for us, and before you know it, we'll fall into temptation. Are y'all listening to this preacher? The Bible tells us, every single one of us in here, we're going to face it. Nobody here is exempt from it. If you think for one minute that fish got that big by just being born, you and I need to have talk after church service. He swam for a lot of years. Nobody's hooked him. Everybody says it's impossible to hook him. But when he's hooked, he's put on the wall. He's on display to show I got him. And the devil would love to put you on display showing the world, I got him. Are y'all know I'm right. We're drawn away. The devil entices us. But how we keep lust in check and keep lure out of mouth is snuggle up to the L-O-R-D, Lord. Somebody say amen. We don't need to listen to the lust. We don't need to look at the lure. We need to love on the Lord. Hey, man, preacher, preach on. That's how you endure temptation. He said, I'm writing to people that scattered. I'm writing to people that's been scolded. I'm writing to people who's been skint the wrong way. I'm writing to people to tell you that when you find yourself falling into it, count it all joy. Because the one that's allowed the trouble, the temptation, trial to come in your life, he's got an out of it phase. And you just need to stay snuggled up to the Lord and wait for the out of it phase. He's not going to keep you from it, but there's an out of it phase. There's an escape phase, and God's going to get you out of that escape room that the devil says, I got you trapped in. Now listen, I'm telling you, he said, is count it common? And it seems uncommon. It don't seem to make sense to look at troubles, trials, and troubles and have a smile on your face. But he said, go ahead and smile about it. Blessed. If you wasn't doing nothing for God, the devil would leave you alone. He's a thief, and thieves never rob empty armored trucks. They always go after full ones. Y'all know I'm right. The devil knows he wants to steal, he wants to kill, he wants to destroy. You've got life because you're in Christ. He wants to take that life. You're loaded up by the Lord. Oh, listen to me. The enduring man, his temptation, he lives for the Lord. That's how you, amen, say no to lust. That's how you quit looking at lure. It starts because you realize I don't live for me. I live for the Lord. I don't rule my life. The Lord does. But when I fall, I can count it all joy. You see, there's troubles and trials and tribulations. It's common to all. But we got to look at it in an uncommon way. Because, thank God, there's an uncommon effect of it. Say, preacher, wait a minute. Yes, there's an escape. But there's more than just an escape. One day there's going to be an escalation. He's going to take you from here to here. He's going to take you from rags to riches. One day, your troubles and trials, financial burdens are all going to be left behind. We'll never have to wear a pair of eyeglasses. We'll never scoot our feet because we're tired and sore and achy. We won't never have a struggle breathing. We won't never have to worry about sleeping. Amen. We won't eat because we're hungry. We'll enjoy the blessings of God. Amen. Just because we're there in heaven, because God has a crown of righteousness waiting for everybody who will just trust him. Amen. The enduring man faces his temptation. The enabled man knows it's a test. Amen. That enduring man says, I'm going to live for the Lord. That enabled man said, I've been loaded up by the Lord. The Lord's going to take care of me. He loads me up daily. Did he not say? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, he gives and gives and keeps. Salvation's a gift that keeps on giving.
I mean, great God in heaven, we ain't even took time to thank God for what he did for us this week. I'll promise you that. I'll guarantee you, you ain't thanked God for everything he's done for you this week. There ain't no way. Most of us don't even think about all the ways that God's been good to us. Here's what he said. Knowing this, that the trial of your faith is working. It worketh. It's working patience. And what patience does is it provides an atmosphere for you to be perfected. Here's what he said in verse 4. He said, let patient have her perfect work. You know what that word perfect means? To be fully mature, to be complete, to be whole, that you may be perfect and entire. You know what the word entire means? Having no holes. What God's trying to do is trying to stop all them holes up in your life. What God's doing is he's maturing you. He's perfecting you. He's growing you. He's wanting your fruit that it may abound. Amen. He's making you perfect in the image of Christ. He said, and if you get into a trouble and you can't figure out, well, I can't make sense of what I'm going through. I don't understand why I'm having to face this. I mean, I just got out of one, now I'm in another. I feel like I've been that enduring man. I'm trying to live for God. I'll have to admit it. I've been an enabled man. I've been loaded up by the Lord. He's sure been taking care of me. And if I'll be honest, one day I know I'm going to be an enriched man. I'm going to be triumphed. I'm going to walk around with a crown. But I'm trying to figure out right now, why am I having, I don't understand it. Well, he gave us a verse. He said in verse number 5, if any of you lack wisdom, if you can't figure it out for yourself, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. Here's what he's saying. He said God will give you the understanding and the wisdom to be able to see what he's doing and perfecting in your life. He wants you to be completely whole. He wants you to be completely mature. He wants to take out of the holes out of your testimony so you can be perfected. And sometimes God has to allow a test because, amen, God has to allow some things to break. God has to allow some fibers to tire so you become stronger, so you realize that you can make it through anything the devil throws at you, anything the world throws at you, anything the flesh trips you up in. God said you can trust faith. Don't fall into the pit of fear. You can trust in faith. But when you ask God, he said in verse number 6, you got to ask in faith. You got to ask with nothing wavering. Don't be like that man who one day's got faith, the next day ain't got no faith. Amen. That double-minded man is unstable. In other words, he's a shaking man. God don't want you to be shaken. He don't want you to be unstable. He don't want you to have one eye on the world and one eye. Listen, if you sit in the windowsill like Eutychus did, have one eye on the man of God, Paul, preaching, have one ear listening to the man of God sitting in the windowsill, you got one eye on the world and one ear open to the world, sitting on the windowsill, being a wind blocker for everybody else, sitting as close to the world without actually falling in the world, you know what's going to happen? You ain't never going to fall right. You're going to fall out the window. You can't get to the edge and think that you're going to fall right. No, listen to this preacher. Now, if you got a good preacher and got somebody that loves you, they'll go down there and love on you, see you restored, and come back into fellowship. But I'm gonna promise you something. Here's what the Bible said. If you don't have faith, you're going to be like a wave tossed with the wind. Every time the wind blows, you'll be over here, you'll be over there, you'll be God help. Amen. I feel myself enough. I don't need no help being that way. Amen. He said, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. God's warning us through the man of God, James. He's not saying count it easy. He said count it joy. He didn't say act like it ain't nothing. He said just count it joy. Happiness comes from happenings. He didn't say, hey, I want you to be happy. No. Some things are going to horrify you. Some things are going to harm you. They're going to hurt you. But he said, I want you to have joy. Joy don't come from happenings. Happiness comes from what's happening. Kids are happy when they're at Carowinds. When the ride stops, they scream again to get on it again. But joy comes from Jesus. That means you can have a smile on your face and love on Jesus even though you're going through hell on earth. Remember, he didn't say he's going to keep you from it. He said he'll deliver you out of it. You say, well, preacher, I'm not, you don't understand the troubles I'm going through. I mean, if I had a little more money, Brother Frank done cleared the way in Sunday school. He said, if I had a little more money, it'd be easy. Well, he deals with that. He said, the rich man's like grass. As soon as the sun comes up, the grass withers and the flower falls. Everything, it makes that grass what it is. He said, so it shall be the rich man. He ain't taking that stuff with him. I mean, you can make your casket out of gold. Don't mean you're going to take it with you. As soon as you rot, we're going to dig it up and pay something off. Say amen. Hey, that's exactly right. I heard the other one, Brother Frank said, that woman said, what you want me to do with your money? You've been stingy all your life. He said, I want you to put it all in gold and sit it in the attic. When I go up, I'll catch it on the way up. She went up in the attic after he died and got that gold and went and, amen, took care of herself. She said, he didn't go up anyway. I probably should have put it in the basement. Amen. Amen. Are y'all listening to this preacher? Y'all know I'm right. You can't take it with you. The rich man says, I don't have no trouble, but I'm going to tell you what he said. He said, the rich man is as unstable when he's double-minded as the poor man. He said, that man's going to have troubles. He faces troubles just like you do, though he thinks he can handle it because he's got all his finances. The poor man, he even mentions the poor man. Hey, you go through them too. It don't have nothing to do with your social status. Just know this, we're all on the same level field. And blessed is a man that endures to be an enduring man. How, preacher? Live for the Lord. Be an enabled man or woman. How, preacher? Just trust in God and let him load your life up. Be an enriched man or woman. You say, preacher, how can I do that? Because one day, according to verse number 12, blessed is a man that endureth. That's that enduring man. But when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised him to love in that day. Let no man, all right, listen, don't doubt it. God's going to enrich you here. He's going to enrich you there. Amen. That enduring man lives for the Lord. That enabled man's loaded by the Lord. And that enriched man, amen, he loves the Lord. Amen. When he's tried, he trusts. And until your faith's been tested, you'll never trust like you need to trust. God wants us to realize, hey, faith sometimes. Sometimes there's going to be confusion. That's when you see God and say, God, give me some wisdom. Because faith don't breed confusion. That's flesh fighting faith. But what happens is when we pray to the Father to help us with faith, faith does what it's supposed to do and faith comforts us. Faith reassures us of its commitment. Have a single heart. Be a steadfast heart. God wants us to receive truth. He said, when you do this, you will not err, my beloved brethren. Every single person in this building has been like James at one time. James had heartache after heartache after heartache till he lost his life. God never said it was going to be a bed of roses. But he does say he's got a timing. There is a timing about it. Here's what I got to thinking about, Brother Scott. When I got to thinking about how the Lord uses trials and troubles, I thought this. Malachi said he's a refiner. You know how you make silver pure? You have to put fire under it and let all the alloys and all the other contaminations boil up to the top, scrape it off, and then another fire, and you boil up some more and scrape it off until you can look in and the refiner sees his reflection. He knows it's pure. Did the Bible not say that he's preordained us to be to conform to the image of us? What he's doing is allowing the stuff to get burned out of our life till he sees his reflection in our life.
Then I thought about what the Bible said, I believe it's about Mark chapter 5 or Mark 6 and verse number 7, where he says, he is not this a carpenter. You know what carpenters use? Carpenters have to use saws and cutting instruments, chisels, to cut something to get it to fit and, amen, in the position it's been designed for. God sometimes has got to cut things out of our life. He's the refiner. He's the carpenter. Would y'all say amen? He knows what he's doing. So, if we know that we're going to be an enriched man or woman, if we know that, and we should love him, and if we know that God has enabled us with the power of faith, with a Father that's over and planned our life and overseeing all of the circumstances, the trials, troubles, tribulation. We know that. We know that he's there. And if we know without a doubt he will enable us, then can't we just enjoy serving God? In the midst of troubles, in the midst of trials, in the midst of tribulation, you can count it all joy. You can count it all joy. You can realize I am a blessed man. Blessed is the man that endureth temptations. You think that man that you don't see going through troubles right now is not having troubles? He just don't let you know about it. There ain't a person alive that ain't having something going on in their life right now that I know of. There's not one person, no matter their social status, no matter how much money they got in the bank, no matter what's going on, that's not enduring something right now. It's a common thing, but we need to look at it in an uncommon way. And no, thank God, there's a crown that's waiting. I want to ask you this question. Would you be willing to say, Lord, I'm just going to ask you to help me to look at it differently. We're going to close with a verse. Turn your Bible to Psalms. Miss Victoria's coming. She's going to play in just a second. I want you to turn over here with me. Look with me in the book of Psalms in chapter number 4. Psalms chapter number 4. These last three verses have rung true in my heart since second revival I preached. Look what it says in Psalms 4. Verse number 6. There be many that say, who will shew us any good? Show me one good thing in my life. Show me something good. You ever get like that? Don't act like you better. I'll guarantee you felt like that. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, if I'm going to see anything, Lord, all caps, by the way, in your text, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. I've been looking through it with the wrong light. I need the S-U-N to shine. I need the S-O-N to show up. I'm a blessed man. I need to count it joy, but I ain't figuring it out myself. I show me something good. Y'all know you've been like that. And he said, I know how I can do it. Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Watch what he said in verse 7. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. Lord, you put more gladness in my heart than when them winemakers are flowing over with all their money, when they got all the corn that they need and all their storage sheds, when they're fluent, when their harvest is coming in. And yet, Lord, my harvest hadn't come in. I feel like my barn's empty, the wine cellar's empty, there ain't nothing to drink or eat. And yet, God, you still put gladness in my heart more than in the time. Lord, I need you just for a little bit.
Would you help me to get a good look at it from your eyes? And help me to remember you've made me real glad. And it must be because of grace. Look at verse 8. I will, he said this, both lay me down in peace and sleep. My heart's going to find peace and my eyes is going to find sleep. How? For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Lord, I'm starting to see the good when I look at it through your eyes. I'm realizing I'm glad whether I'm up or down, the barn's full or the barn's empty. And I'm going to find peace in my heart and sleep for my eyes because it's grace. And thou makest me dwell in safety. I don't have to build towers and walls. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Build them all. But except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain which build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. I lift up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken. The devil's snare is broken. And we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. You know what he said? Count it all joy. Why? Because the Lord ain't never going to leave you nor forsake you. The Lord, while you're living, is going to load you up. Because you love him, he's going to lift you up. And one day, amen, he who has enabled us will enrich us and we'll trade a cross for a crown. And won't that be a time? Let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed.